Oh, hi there. How are you?
Hashem, doing well yourself?
Good.
Good.
Hey, Dave. Anyone there?
Sorry, I can't see you. Is that you, Eric?
Yeah.
Hey, Eric.
Hi. Yeah, I got to turn my video on, but I had to take a shower.
No worries.
I thought you guys may not want to, you know, get too excited. Anybody else here?
Not yet.
Really? Buddy's been, he was asking, and Ami said they were. And
not even 8 o'clock.
Oh, I thought I was like late.
No,
2 minutes early.
2 minutes early. 2 minutes early, and we never start on time.
Oh, yeah, that's Jewish time. I forgot.
Yeah.
And then Ami's always got so many questions. He wanted to know, like, what page on the Siddur, and whether it's then he sent me another text. Is it Ashkenazi or Sfard? Can I use the art scroll, the one I use, the Sfard one, the Nusach Sfard that we from Beth Jacob? Is the rabbi on yet? No, he's not. Hey, Mark.
Eric, how are you?
Great. How you doing?
Doing good. Doing a little hot here, but doing good. Crazy week, but we're all good.
Yeah, good. We're going to learn how to daven today.
Oh, that's good. Be a holy roller?
Yep.
You know, I always said the Jewish people taught the bob and weave, you know?
That's right. We invented it.
Absolutely. But yeah, it's funny. It's been 2 weeks? Because we didn't have class last week, but you would think it's been 6 months the way the world keeps changing.
Right.
You know.
Is everything open? Is things starting? Is the Jewish Center opening up there yet?
Yeah, it's funny you should say that. I went there today because I wanted to go there over the weekend, and they have a machine, they have a box outside that they use for security. The thing takes a thermal image of you as you look at it. It tells you your temperature. I thought they're gonna hold that little gun up to your forehead. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They have this electronic box. It takes your temperature. You gotta kind of go up one way and in one way. And then they moved half the equipment from upstairs down into a quarter of the gym. We have two gyms in the building. And there's the old gym and the new gym, but
I've seen that.
Yeah,
I've seen that thing on TV. That's a pretty.
Whoops! You're breaking up.
Device. And, at RGA, they're going to be doing.
Did your J open?
They opened Sunday.
Yeah, it's going to be, and if you want to play basketball, you can only feed your family before time. The same if you're going to do some special, at one of these aerobicized classes, again, for the pool. The camp, we had a camp that holds about 550 kids a session, and they lost the camps this summer at the Jay in Columbus. I think I had text you, you're going to lose $10 million.
Yeah, you told me about that.
Yeah, they have a beautiful camp that some families donated. It's about 600 acres in North Georgia. And, you know, between Bernie Marcus and Arthur Blank, they have really, and some other people there, it's a really nice, it's a state, it's, it used to be an old rough camp, but now it's kind of state of the art. So some people enjoy it and some don't, because it's more like a hotel now than it being something in the backwoods. But
did your kids go there?
Yeah, my kids went there. They worked there. One was a unit head for the during college. So, but I'm just glad to see the center opening. We really need that. You know, it's not that the basketball leagues are going to be forming anytime soon, but at least, you know, you can get in there.
Yeah. Our center is like going to be very limited. The health club is not opening up.
Right, but the other part of your facility will open downstairs, correct?
Yeah. Yeah, but I won't be able to, I'm not going to be able to schmooze with my friends and drink coffee and eat bagels for a while.
Oh, right, right. Right. But at least you can get in the building. You have a nice facility there.
Yeah, today was the first day of reserve, and I got online, and I couldn't do it. Not that I'm sophisticated at the computers and all, but I imagine some of these elderly people are not going to be able to get in either.
Oh, these silver sneakers, the workout area is this open period. It's if you're going to need a court to, you want to shoot buckets, you know, or do something else. But the silver sneakers can't come in the building until 10 a.m. anyways, because they felt they were holding up the people that had typical day jobs that wanted to get into the center early before they had to go to work.
Yeah.
But we...
Irv, I think they insulted us just now.
I stand insulted.
You know, you don't look like a sneaker. I'm close, but not quite. Oh, there you go.
So. All right. Let's see here. I went for a bike ride. I just got back.
How many miles?
I think I read like 27.
Wow.
Like. Oh, my gosh.
You didn't shower?
I got another shower. That's why I'm not showing you the video.
Thank you. We appreciate that.
I knew you would.
That's a great ride.
Phew.
Well, that's why he's younger than I am. I can only go, 6 miles?
I'm about in that club.
So, I did that on Sunday.
Oh, that's awesome. That's great.
I just see one of my biking partners just joined in. Rudy Mandel. Rudy, everybody.
Evening. See you there.
Hey, Rudy.
Hey.
I just rode the Dixon Loop with Jordy, and we invited you.
You have any real hills you got to contend with, or it's pretty well flat?
On this particular ride, there's, I think something like 500 feet of climbing. No, yes. Not one big hill, and that's about it.
That's not bad.
I think Tommy should be on.
So are we starting without the rabbi? I mean, we've got an empty seat.
Oh. All right, what was that, buddy?
I said, are we starting without the rabbi?
How's everyone doing?
Hi, rabbi.
Okay, who's here? Who's got the beach in there?
Okay, Tana didn't come get her stuff.
See, Jeff is here. Oh, Mel.
You're on mute, right?
Okay, very nice.
I'm gonna mute me. My dog's barking, so here we go. Mute me.
Yeah, the dog's saying, take a shower.
Buddy, we missed you.
When? Oh, last week.
Two weeks ago. Yeah, I missed everybody last week.
Okay.
Dad told me he can drive your car.
Getting up and going to Minion is going to kill me.
You didn't start yet?
Yeah, we did. This week.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, but the older people can't make it. So, you know, I used to go one day a week.
Yeah.
Now I'm...
What do you mean you can't make it? They're restricting to age?
Well, correct. They said that they asked people over 65.
So yeah.
They got a couple more years. Yeah. Very few. To consider not coming.
Yeah.
So that knocks out half the Minion.
Okay. All righty. Okay. All right.
I see, when you get to be, you know, in your late 80s, what the hell?
Yeah. Okay. Okay, very good. All right, let's mute everybody here. Let's get started. Okay, once again, you can unmute yourself if you have a question. Okay, here we go. Is Eric here? Where's Eric? One second. One second.
I'm here.
You're there?
He was here. He went to take a shower.
Oh, I see. One second. Something's not working here on my thing. Just one second, everybody. I can mute all, but now... I can mute. Now everybody's muted. How come I don't have... Oh, something's funny here. Second, let's try this again. Okay. Everyone is muted. Okay, I don't know why. Okay, something's a little funny, but... Okay. Wait, it keeps unmuting. Everyone's muted. Right? Yeah, okay. Okay, here we go. Okay. So, okay, I'm very happy that... this topic was chosen for a number of reasons. We're going to be starting to learn about the Siddur, about the daily davening. You know, I'm really excited that everybody really wanted to do this. It's a, you know, something that's, you know, very important for a number of reasons. First of all is that it's really imperative that everybody has a, you know, a time to learn about davening regularly. You know, I've entitled this class, I hope Eric sent out the topic, the title that I sent for this class. It's a really a great title. I'm going to give credit to my brother, who's a bit of a comedian, for coming up with the title. His title was Thank the Lord Without Being Bored, right? And that's it's a really a great title. It's cute, funny, right? But it's really true. Because if we don't put in time to davening, to learn about it, to think about it, to, you know, go through the words a little bit, what we're saying, davening will be boring. It will be. And it's understandably that it will be like that. So davening is something that, being that it's something we do every day, it's the same thing every day. If there's nothing fresh about it, it will get stale, it'll get old, it will get boring. So the goal here, what we're going to be doing is we're going to be going through, you know, different areas of our daily davening with the goal that it shouldn't be boring. It should be something that's exciting, something that's meaningful, and it's something which, you know, I try to do myself every now and then, is to find some time to learn a little bit more about the meaning, you know, new insights into the daily davening, in order so that davening does not get stale. Because otherwise, if you don't continuously learn about it, think about it, it's something which could get, you know, boring, for lack of better words. Now there's another reason which I felt is very important. I was very excited why everybody chose this topic. And that is because, you know, as the shuls are reopening, I know Beth Jacob has basically started, you know, Minyanim, the Kohel is only open now for Minyanim. And I think Avos Shalom also started Minyanim. I heard Torah Demetz is going to be starting this week. But as we're slowly regaining, you know, our opportunity to daven once again with a minyan, you know, it's I think it's very special that everybody is, you know, wanted to that I asked the regulars of this class, the old timers, you know, that I asked what they would like, and they wanted to do about davening. And as we're being allowed back into our shuls, I think it's very nice that everybody wants to, while we're going back, to be able to daven as usual, that we should make davening a little bit more meaningful, a little bit more exciting, and a better experience. So here's the plan, which and if anybody has any requests, comments, questions, complaints, you know, please feel free to let me know. What I plan on doing for as long as people don't feel like they need a something new and exciting, is I plan to pick out the main sections of the morning davening. You know, we can do Shemona Esrei, you know, later. You know, much, much later. But I want to start at the beginning of the Siddur, and go through the primary parts of the Psukei Dezimra, you know, the primary parts of the introductory parts of the davening of our day. And, you know, if we were to do everything, I think it'll take us years. And I don't think that that's a good idea. So what I plan on doing is picking out the primary parts, and, you know, learning about them, discussing them, and going through the basic translation, the basic themes and ideas. So for example, what I plan on doing is, you know, for the next 2 weeks or so, I want to do, you know, the beginning blessings, you know, the blessing of Netilas Yadayim that we do in the morning, blessing of Asher Yatzar, Atah Adam B'Chachma, we'll talk about it. And those blessings, I want to talk about the blessings that we say over the Torah, right? I want to talk about Birchot HaShachar, right? The morning blessings of thanking Hashem for all the different, enumerating all the different things Hashem has given us. I want to talk about Baruch Shamar and Ashrei and maybe Yishtabach. And so a lot of the famous things. And I want to do Kriyat Shema. I want to, you know, a lot of the classic, you know, prayers that everybody knows and says every day, but you know, to put some more meaning into them will be the goal for this class. So I think this week and next week are going to be about really the you know, the first blessings we're supposed to say in the morning. This week what I plan to do is talk about the general theme of an overview of what these blessings are about. And then next week, I hope to delve into the wording a little bit more, and you know, dissecting what each word means a little bit more carefully, so that we can have a better understanding of the contents. But for this week, the goal is that we have a general perspective of the first blessings we're supposed to be saying when we wake up in the morning, and what the theme is, and what at least I feel that we should be thinking about when we do these every morning. Okay, so what we're going to do here is like this. If everybody, I hope everybody got the message that, I recommend that everyone has a siddur that you're going to use regularly. I have in front of me two different art scroll siddurim, just in case somebody has Ashkenaz or Sfard. That way everybody will be able to follow along. And I made a source sheet, just in case someone did not have a siddur on them. It was just so that everybody has the text in front of them. You'll manage without it, but it'll this week. Next week you may not, but for this, because this week is much more about the theme. But if for those of you who have in front of you a art scroll Sfard siddur, it's going to be on page 16. And for those of you who have a art scroll Ashkenaz siddur, it's on page 14. That's where we're going to be starting. Okay. And then the source sheet just has the blessings on it that we're going to be talking about. So a person's day, obviously a person, you wake up in the morning, you're supposed to say, Modeh ani lefanecha melechai v'kayam, right? That's, I think everybody learns that when they're young. You thank Hashem for, you know, giving me new life, waking me up this morning. Okay, but as soon as person gets out of bed, the first thing that he should be doing is he's supposed to wash his hands. He's wash his hands three times you're supposed to have a special cup. You wash your hands three times on each hand, and you're supposed to make the bracha, the same bracha that you make on and eating bread. Asher k'dishanam misosav v'tzivanu al netzilat yadayim. Right? Now, this is part of the morning ritual. This is something which a person is supposed to say every morning. And then a person is supposed to say the bracha right after that of Asher, which is a bracha which is really made for any time a person relieves himself, goes to the bathroom. You're supposed to make the bracha Asher Yatzar to Adam b'chachma, right? We'll discuss it at length, but it's really a bracha about the amazing qualities of the human body, right? And then, for those of you who have the Ashkenaz Siddur, sorry, for those of you who have the Sfard Siddur, so if you look on page 20, and for those of you who have the Ashkenaz Siddur, it's on page 18, okay? There's a blessing which is called Elokai Neshama. Elokai Neshama Shenatata Bi Tehorahi, which is a blessing which is many, many people have the custom to say these three blessings together. The blessing of Al Netzilat Yadayim, the blessing of Asher Yatzar Et Adam B'Chachma, and the blessing of Elokai Neshama are many people have the custom to say them all together. They're really all one theme. It's printed in the Siddur as after the blessings on the Torah, and some people have that custom to say it after the blessings on the Torah, but many people have the custom to say all these three blessings together. To say, Al Netzilat Yadayim, Asher Yatzar Et Adam B'Chachma, and Elokai Neshama, all together, okay? All together. Now, some people, there are varying customs when they're said. Some people, this is my particular custom, is that I say them when I get to shul, right? These three blessings, I say them once I'm at shul, I'm ready to start davening, I get there in the morning, I make these are the first three blessings that I say. Al Netzilat Yadayim, Asher Yatzar Et Adam B'Chachma, and Elokai Neshama. These are the three blessings that I start. And then after that, I make the blessings on the Torah. All right, I make Birkat HaTorah. Okay. But there are various customs. Some people say it immediately after doing Netzilat Yadayim in the morning. Some people do it immediately following their washing their hands, and other people do it when they get to shul. So whatever your custom is, you can continue doing. If you want some guidance what you should do, then you can speak to me privately or your local rabbi privately. But these are the three blessings which we're going to be talking about today, and what the theme of these three blessings are. Okay. So what we should do is like this. Let's look together in the English translation just to get a basic overview of what these three blessings say, right? And then what we'll do is we'll go back and we'll put together, we'll delve a little bit more into the meaning behind each blessing and the theme that's going to put all these things together, okay? Okay, if there are any questions, please to unmute yourself and stop me at any point in time, okay? So it goes like this. So let's just read together. Let's read together the English here. So Al Netzilat Yadayim is pretty straightforward. Blessed are you, Hashem, O King of the universe. Sanctified us with His commandments, has commanded us regarding washing the hands. Okay, pretty straightforward. Then you have Asher Yatzar Et Adam Chachma. So again, if you're in the Sfard Siddur, it's on page 16. If you're in the Ashkenaz Siddur, it is on page 14. Okay. So if you have the Art School Siddurim. So then Asher Yatzar Et Adam is, blessed are you, Hashem, O God, King of the universe, who fashioned man with wisdom and created within him many openings and cavities. It is obvious and known before your throne of glory that if but one of them were to be ruptured or but one of them were to be blocked, it would be impossible to survive and to stand before you for even 1 hour. Blessed are you, Hashem, who heals all flesh and acts wondrously. So this seems, this is a blessing. Once again, this is something which, this is a blessing which is supposed to be said, really, anytime somebody relieves himself, right? Anytime someone relieves himself, this is a blessing which should be said. It is part of the morning routine. And in fact, the halacha is that you are in the morning, the first thing in the morning, you are actually allowed to say this and should say this blessing, even if a person did not use the bathroom in the morning, okay? This is considered part of the
morning, regular morning blessings that a person's supposed to say when he wakes up in the morning, regardless of being used. Okay? But this is a blessing, which you read the simple reading of the English is about the wonders of the human body, how amazing the human body is. Okay? We'll get to that more in depth in a little bit. Okay? Then again, Elokai Neshama is printed in the Sidurim, again in the Sfard on page 20 and in Ashkenaz on page 18. So let's read it together. What exactly is this prayer of Elokai Neshama? All right, again, if anybody's lost, please unmute yourself and let me know. But so it goes like this. It says, Elokai Neshama, the English is like this. My God, the soul you placed within me is pure. You created it, you fashioned it. You breathed it into me. You safeguard it within me, and eventually you will take it from me and restore it to me in the time to come. As long as the soul is within me, I gratefully thank you, Hashem, my God, and the God of my forefathers, master of all works, Lord of all souls. Blessed are you, Hashem, who restores souls to dead bodies. Okay, so here we have a blessing all about a person's, seemingly about a person's neshama, person's soul. Okay, those are the three blessings. So you have al netzilat yadayim, washing your hands. Then you have the Asher Yatzarat Adam B'Chachma, about the wonders of the body, and then you have Elokai Neshama, which is all about the nature of the soul of a human being. So that's the
quick question.
Yes, sir.
If I truly believe that the Mashiach is coming today, tomorrow,
yeah,
and I'm not going to die, okay,
yeah,
so why am I saying here I'm going to die and you're going to give me back my soul? I truly believe that I have to be ready for the Mashiach, then I'm not going to die. I'm only going to die if I die before the Mashiach comes.
Correct. That's actually not true. Okay. Right? Mashiach comes. When Mashiach comes in, you're not going to live eternally once Mashiach comes. You may live longer.
Another session.
You may live longer, but it's actually according to Maimonides. It's not that's not going to change. That's not going to change. You may live longer, but it's not it's another session. We need to go through thoroughly the times of Mashiach, the times of the resurrection of the dead, the times of Olam Haba. Olam Haba, the person's going to live forever. That's not what it's referring to. But hold off on this question. This is a bit of a premature question because I hope next week to go a little bit more in depth.
Hey, buddy. You better start contributing to your 401k again now.
Okay. Well, the last couple of weeks have been pretty good, so I'm okay.
Just a thought. Go back.
Okay, that's a good. I'll revisit that issue briefly, maybe even later in this class, and then when we go through the wording more carefully next week. So then I'll touch upon it a little more. So hopefully between this week and next week, you'll have a basic overview of what that blessing means. Okay. 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 So I want to share with you what I feel the theme of all these blessings are. And I'll tell you what I think the theme is. And then as we go through a little bit more in depth, these three blessings, I think it'll become clear. And then I'll recap at the end how I put it all together. Okay. So here's the basic theme I think is with all these blessings. Then we'll go one by one through the blessings and I'll show you where I'm coming from. There's a bit of a misconception that people have when it comes to davening. It's a bit of a childish misconception, right? Is that people think that davening is about asking God for whatever I need, right? And that's really what people think about when they're children, right? And it's a bit of a selfish, sorry to be so sharp here, but it's a bit of a selfish thing if you think about it. Like, oh, I need a lot of things, so, you know, God, let me just submit my wish list to God And, you know, he's all powerful, so I'll just ask from him whatever I need, right? It's part of davening to, as we know in Shemona Esrei, we do ask Hashem for the things we need. But davening is really about putting myself in Hashem's hands, right? I'm putting myself in perspective and putting myself in the hands of Hashem and saying, Hashem, I'm all yours. You are the one who creates everything. You are the one who I am totally dependent on. That is in a pretty nutshell how to summarize what davening is. And even later on when we get to Shemona Esrei, which is, you know, far time from now, and we get to even all the things that we ask Hashem for. I'll cut to the chase now and we'll explain it more if we get there one day. But even when we ask for things from Hashem, what we're really doing is we say, Hashem, I'm yours. I am totally dependent on you. And that's really a growth process for the person himself, that a person places himself in Hashem's hands. I'm yours, Hashem, right? So davening really is not just about asking Hashem. It's a process of acknowledging God as the master of the world. That's really in a nutshell what it is. Okay, that's davening in a general sense. Okay, acknowledging God as the master of the world and putting yourself totally, completely in the hands of Hashem. The theme, I believe, of these three blessings is as follows. When a person wakes up in the morning, right? Yeah, you know, some people, they're very, very involved in mundane life. Very involved in mundane life. Everyone's got to eat, everyone's got to drink, everyone's got to go to work, everyone's got, you know, people to see, places to go, yeah, exercise. You got so many things to do a mundane life, right? But a person, the minute he wakes up in the morning, he needs to put in perspective, what am I? Who am I? What's my job today? That is, I believe, is the theme of these blessings. Who am I? What am I? What's my job today? That, I believe, is the theme of these three blessings altogether. And now let me explain by going through each one of these things. We wake up in the morning. Everybody knows we say Modé Ani. The first thing you do when you wake up is you thank Hashem that he gave you a new life. Right, he allowed your neshama to come back. A person's neshama to assert. Well, I don't want to delve into this now; it's another discussion. But a person's neshama slightly left while he was sleeping, and you wake up, and in the morning, and when a person gets out of bed, he's supposed to do netilat yadayim. He's supposed to wash his hands with a cup three times on each hand. Now, why? What do you have to do that for? Right? It's a law. It's part of Jewish law. Mentioned several times in the Talmud, there's nothing to talk about. It's an absolute law that everybody is required when you wake up in the morning, take a cup just like you would do, similar to what you do for bread, but washing for bread doesn't need to be three times on each hand, and the custom is two for a lot of people, but when you wake up in the morning, you take a cup of water. One, two, one, two, one, two, three times on each hand. What do you have to do this for? So the truth is that there are several opinions about why the sages have told us that this is something we are required to do. And I want to share with you the opinion of someone named Rabbi Shlomo Ben Aderes. For those of you who were with me when we did the series about the great Torah scholars, I'll tell you who Rabbi Shlomo Ben Aderes is. We learned extensively about Nachmanides, the Ramban. The Ramban was the greatest Torah scholar in Spain in the 13th century. He was, you know, looked upon as being people. And, you know, he was the one, for those of you who were with me, who we went through his debate with the church and his debate with Pablo Cristiani, who challenged the Jews to a debate, and he forced the Ramban to have an extensive debate back and forth, and he ripped them to shreds. You know, he really, if you remember some of the, he said some really, really sharp things to just ripping apart Christianity, totally ripping it to shreds. It was very exciting. I was really happy that everybody pushed me to do that, because I really enjoyed that. But anyway, but that was the Ramban. The Ramban had a student. One of the Ramban's major students was Rabbi Shlomo ben Aderes. That's Rabbi Shlomo ben Aderes is Reish, Rabbi Shlomo Shin ben Beis, and then Aderes is with the Aleph. So the acronym is the Rashba, okay? And that's how everybody refers to him in the Jewish, in the yeshiva world, right? So anytime you want to quote something from Rabbi Shlomo ben Aderes, you always say, "Did you hear? I want to tell you what the Rashba says." Right? That's how he's referred to. Throughout the Torah world, in the yeshiva world. So the Rashba says as follows. The Rashba has a book of responsa, and he talks about this question: why do we do Netilas Yadayim in the morning? And I want to read to you what he says. It's really, really incredible. I think that this, when I was growing up, I think this reason is not the general reason that people think. I think if I had asked most people, why do we do Netilas Yadayim in the morning? I think people would probably say, I think most people, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think most people are familiar with the concept of a ruach ra, that there's some sort of evil spirit that comes onto a person's hands when he goes to sleep at night. And that's definitely a very important, it is a reason, it's by the sages, that there's some sort of impurity which comes onto a person's hands when he's sleeping, and which is taken off by washing his hands three times. I think that's probably the reason that is most familiar to people. There's another reason which is given by other commentators that Maimonides actually is one of these commentators who says that if a person touches a person when he's sleeping, Maimonides says, so he's not really conscious of really what he's doing. He's not conscious of where he puts his hands. And if a person touches a unclean part of his body, then he's not really allowed to daven or say blessings. And therefore, when you wake up in the morning, since you are not conscious of where you are putting your hands while you were sleeping, so therefore the sages said, you wake up in the morning, you didn't know where your hands were touching in the middle of the night, you weren't paying attention carefully, wash your hands first thing you wake up in the morning. Those are the two most popular, I think. From when I was a kid, those at least were the two most popular reasons that people discussed. Okay, but I want to share with you what the Rashba says. The Rashba says as follows. I'll read it to you. I'll translate also. So he says like this. What he says, when we wake up in the morning, says the Rashba, we are like a new creation, a beria chadasha, a new creation. Okay. And he says, and because we're a new creation, so we need to thank Hashem for, creating us anew. That's why we say Modani. That's why we say all the blessings of Birchot HaShachar, which we're going to get to, Mirtz Hashem. And listen to now what he says. Because you are a Beria Chadosh, because you're like a newly created being, all right? You're starting anew, starting fresh. Listen to this. He says, therefore, a person just like he makes a comparison to a Kohen, before a priest would begin his service in the temple, he would be required to wash his hands from the Kiyor, which was a basin of a special basin of water, which was placed in the Beit HaMikdash, in the Mishkan, right? He was placed there, and any time a Kohen would begin the service before he would begin his service in the temple, before he would start offering the korbanot, the daily offerings, if it was his job, he was required to wash his hands from a special basin filled with water that was stationed in the temple. The Torah talks about where it was put, and how a kohen needed to do that. And he says the Rashba, just like a kohen, when he begins his service in the temple, he needs to wash his hands and feet, it happens to be, but we don't need to do that. We don't need to wash our feet. But just like a Kohen needed to wash his hands when he begins his service, when we wake up and we begin our service, we are our service, right? We wash our hands. Just like a Kohen needs to wash his hands when he's starting the service, so too when we wake up in the morning and we need to start anew our service, so we wash our hands too. That's what the Rashba says, right? That's what the Rashba says. And for me, it's a mind-blowing idea. Really a mind-blowing idea, because really according what the Rashba is saying is that when you wake up in the morning, you're supposed to put yourself into a perspective. What is in a frame of mind? What's my job today? What am I doing today? Right? What's my day all about? Right? Is my day all about my mundane activities? That's what it's all about. It's all about going to work and eating and drinking and this meeting and that meeting and exercising. Is that what it's all about? No. It's not what it's all about. It's the first thing you do when you wake up in the morning, set the tone of what it's all about. You're a beriah chadash, you're a new person. A new person who's starting a new, fresh service of Hashem. And just like a Kohen has to wash his hands when you start the service of Hashem, so too we have to wash our hands when we start fresh anew. That's what the Rashba says. So a Jew, when he wakes up in the morning, right? He needs to make himself, he put himself in the frame of mind, and really to make himself capable of serving Hashem, right? Even the other reasons that are mentioned, why we do Netilas Yadayim, whether it's because your hands are actually dirty or because of some sort of impurity that comes onto your hands. Really, the truth is, all these things have one theme. The theme is here, I'm making myself capable of serving Hashem. If you have unclean hands, can't serve Hashem. You have an impurity on your hands, can't serve Hashem. Right? It's not the right way to be serving Hashem, right? So essentially what the sages were doing when they enacted Netilas Yadayim, when they enacted the washing the hands in the morning, what they're doing is let's put in perspective, let's prepare ourselves for the service of Hashem that's going to be going on today. Because that's really the center of every person's day. That's what the center of every person's day is supposed to be like, as the service of Hashem. And that's how we start Netilas Yadayim in the morning. And I want to mention something. What does it mean? Let's talk about what the meaning is. We know Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam. We'll have a class about what that means. Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu. We'll have a separate class, the exact translation of all those words. Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam. We'll talk about what all those words mean. Okay? But we end up the Baruch Asher Kedishanu, you sanctified us with your commandments, Al Netilat Yadayim. On the Netilat Yadayim. What is that word? Netilat Yadayim. What is that word, Netilat Yadayim? Right? Netilah. What does that mean exactly? It doesn't really mean washing. I mean, it's not that. I don't think that's the literal translation of the word. All right. Usually, in Hebrew, the word for washing is like rechitza. You know, to be rochetz is to wash. But so there are a few different explanations, and I want to tell you one of them is that there's actually a pasuk in Tehillim which uses the word netila, right? The shoresh, the root being nun and tet and lamed, natal, as being a language of uplifting. I'm uplifting my hands, right? I'm uplifting my hands and therefore myself. For what? For the service of Hashem. They're not tame hands anymore. They're not unclean hands anymore. I'm making them properly being able to serve Hashem. That's what this bracha is about. That's what you're doing the Netilat Yadayim for, is because I'm preparing myself for the service of Hashem. Through the washing your hands, you are preparing yourself for a new day of serving Hashem. Before, through your hands, you were not fully capable of serving Hashem. Now I'm uplifting him on the Netilat Yadayim. My hands are being uplifted to be able to properly serve Hashem. That's al Netilat Yadayim. It's on the uplifting of the hands, taking them out from being an impediment in proper service of Hashem. Now they're being uplifted to be able to now start my day to be able to properly serve Hashem. That's the blessing al Netilat Yadayim. Okay. If there are any questions, please unmute yourself and ask. But Steve, did you have a question? Looked like you raised your hand. Okay, fine. Okay. So now let's move on to Asher Yatzar. What's this blessing? So we went through the English, right? And I want to make a point or two here. We went through the English about Sharia Tsar, and the truth is there's a Sharia Tsar and then there's a little Kai Neshama. A Sharia Tsar, is pretty clear that a person is thanking Hashem for his body. That's the blessing of Sharia Tsar, right? Hashem created me. Let's read it again briefly. You fashioned man with wisdom, created within him many openings and many cavities. Essentially, what a Sharia Tsar is doing is appreciating the complexity, right, and wisdom behind the human body. That's really what it's all about. Appreciating that Hashem has made a person who is, we have a doctor here, I believe. Who is here, a doctor? So essentially what and certainly a doctor could appreciate this, is that the human body is made with such unfathomable complexity and wisdom, and how it's about how every part of the body contributes to the overall health and well-being and function of a human, of a person. And that's really what this blessing is about, is appreciating and thanking Hashem for the overwhelming complexity that he is of and wisdom that goes into a person functioning and living in a healthy way. You know, I've often thought, you know, this is just something which I've thought about, you know, something which always crossed my mind is that I said, you know, wouldn't it be great if just for like a little bit, a body can be totally transparent, right? Wouldn't that be amazing? I mean, I think that everybody would just believe in God immediately. I've often thought about this. I mean, if you were to watch, you know, the amount of things that are just going on in the human body, all the cells running around everywhere, everyone just, you know, it's, what time is it now? 8:45, everyone just ate supper, and the stomach's, you know, working and putting all the enzymes to make your food digest properly, and you see your heart beeping and beating and the blood running around your body and delivering nutrition here, nutrition here, and, you know, it's a, and I think if a person just were to watch that happening all at once, I think everybody would just, you know, there wouldn't be any atheists in the world. No, that's just a thought I once had. You know, you could agree or disagree. I don't really care. But the point is, you know, that the human body is so unfathomably complex, right? And every part of the body was made by God with an incredible amount of wisdom. That's really what this bracha is about, is appreciating how a totally functional human body has such incredible wisdom, right? That's really the theme of Asher Yatzar. And then you have Elokai Neshama. Elokai Neshama, which people very often say together with Asher Yatzar, right, is basically thanking Hashem for the Neshama. Okay, and this is very, very important. This is very, very fundamental. And I'm sure for those of you who've been to classes about basic Judaism, you know, have learned about this, you know, quite a number of times, but it's important to review this, is that there's something which is special about people. People are a very, very unique and special creation. We are not like animals. Animals are purely physical. They're a purely physical being. Angels are purely spiritual being. And there is one creation in the entire cosmos, which bridges and combines both the physical world and the spiritual world. And that's the person, people. First, people have a tzelem elokim, something which angels don't have, and the rest of the animal kingdom does not have either. And our job is to use that, and every single one of us have a neshama. We have a spiritual side which comes to us, which is similar to an angel, which comes from come from Hashem himself. It's like a piece of Hashem himself, so to speak. Hashem gave us a neshama. He blew into us a neshama, which is the spiritual component that we have. That's the neshama, the soul of a person. And a person is supposed to use his neshama, use that spiritual component of himself to connect, to use, to connect to Hashem. That's how we connect to Hashem, is through the spiritual component that we have, which is through the neshama. This idea of the combination of a person, of the guf and the neshama, the body and the soul, is actually expressed in this bracha of Asher Yatzar. Right? In this bracha of Asher Yatzar. If you take a look, the last words of the blessing of Asher Yatzar, so again, this is, for those of you who want to look inside, this is in the Sfard Art Scroll Sidur, is page 16, and in the Ashkenaz is page 14. The last words are, in Hebrew, it's, you say, blessed are you, Hashem, who heals all flesh and acts wondrously. Umafli wa'asot. Right? Now, the commentators say that this does not, that, what is this thing that he just acts wondrously? Is that just like a synopsis of like everything that was talking about? You know, Rofecho Basar talked about how Hashem really, you know, takes care of the health of every person. So what's umafli wa'asot, he acts wondrously? And many commentators say that what this, the end of this blessing is doing, is acknowledging something wondrous, and that is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that God combines in a person there's an intrinsic connection between a person's body and a person's soul, the neshama and the guf, right? And that a person, number one, is only really alive due to the fact that he has this soul, number one. And number two is that there's a connection between the two. As long as a person is alive, right, there's the neshama, the spiritual side of a person, is intrinsically connected to him, right? And as long as his body is healthy, the neshama is, Hashem made it that the neshama of a person is intrinsically attached to a person, right? Nobody really can understand that, why it should be like that. And why doesn't the neshama not just leave, right? It's not really something that we can wrap our fingers around, right? The concept that something spiritual is intrinsically connected to something physical. It's not really something that we can really explain or understand. But this is what's wondrous about it, is that God made it that the spiritual side of a person is intrinsically connected to the physical side of a person. And if, as long as the physical side of a person is fully functional, the spiritual side of him is functional as well. And is ingrained in him, attached to him, and is not leaving as long as the person is functioning and alive. And his body is working. As long as his body is working, then the neshama of a person, soul of a person, is intrinsically attached to him. That's something that's wondrous, that people can't really put their finger around, that the neshama of a person is really, is intrinsically with a person. With a person. Okay? That's really what the end of that blessing is talking about. Right? So you have here the Asher Yatzar, which is talking, number one, about the wonders of the human body. And you have the end of the blessing talking about the connection between the body and the soul. And then you have the bracha of Elokai Neshama. Elokai Neshama is thanking Hashem for this soul, right? For our neshama. Thank you, Hashem, for the spiritual side of us. For the spiritual side of us. And let's read it again, just so you see what's going on here. Again, let's read it again. My God, the soul you placed within me is pure. You created it. You fashioned it. You breathed it into me, right? So this is acknowledging God for, thank you, Hashem, for giving us this neshama. You safeguard it within me. Eventually, you will take it away from me, right? Eventually, you will take it away from me and restore it to me in time to come. As long as the soul is within me, I gratefully thank you, Hashem, my God, and the God of my forefathers. So what are we saying here? We're saying, what is a person? A person here is a body, a body full of wisdom. Physical side of him, full of deep wisdom. And a person also has a neshama. This neshama is the spiritual side of him, and the job of a person is to improve his neshama, to do as many mitzvos and stay away from averos and do as much while he's alive, and that boosts up the spiritual side of him. It boosts up his neshama. It makes it a higher level neshama, and it makes him a much more spiritual person. And a person needs to understand that that's what I am. I'm not just a, I'm not just a, an overblown animal. That's not what I am. I have a physical side of me, which is imbued with tremendous wisdom, which is made by Hashem, with and which every single part has has tremendous wisdom. But I have a neshama, and that's the other part of me. That's the other component of me. And this neshama is going to go back to Hashem. It's meant to improve while it's down here through Torah and mitzvot. And then we say, Hashem, you're going to take it away from me afterwards. And you want to see, you know, how'd you do while it was down here? Right? How did you do while it was down here? Did you improve it with Torah and mitzvot? Or did you not improve it with Torah and mitzvot? This is what a person is. A person is, and that's really what we're acknowledging. We're acknowledging a person is a, number one, a very complex physical side of it. And on the other hand, he has a spiritual component, which is supposed to be used while he's down here for the service of Hashem. And Hashem is going to take it away. When it's time for a person to go, Hashem is going to take away that neshama and wants to know, what did you do with it while you were down here? Right? And as long, and that's what we end off the blessing with. I gratefully thank you, Hashem, my God, and God, my forefathers. As long as the soul is within me, I gratefully thank you, Hashem. That's what I'm going to use it for. I'm going to acknowledge while I'm down here with my neshama, I'm going to acknowledge your existence of Hashem. So what I believe here, what I think if you put all these things together, like I said before, let me wrap it up now. Now that I believe the theme is, I think I've worked through the basic ideas of the blessings, and let me wrap it up now so you see how all these things come together. A Jew gets up in the morning, he does Netilas Yadayim, he washes his hands. I'm preparing to serve Hashem. Okay, so what am I? Who am I? Right? Who is this being that I am? Some people don't really think about this, right? People, we have to understand who and what are we? What are we? That's how you have to start your day, to know who am I? What am I? What's my job while I'm here? That's really a person. That's really how a person starts his day. And what a person says is, and when he washes his hands, he says, I'm preparing to serve Hashem. That's what I'm doing. I'm preparing myself for a service of Hashem. And then he says, you know what I am? You know what I am? I have a physical side of me and a spiritual side. My physical side is made by Hashem with tremendous wisdom, unfathomable complexity, right? Right? Down, just a second, Steve. And every part, we'll talk a little bit more about this next week, but every part of a body is made with tremendous thought and wisdom. And that itself causes a person that a person should think about that and give thanks to Hashem for that, that he has a body which is incredible, which can only be made by somebody like Hashem. But a person has another side of him. This is what a person is. A person is a combination of spiritual and physical. And while he's in that, while he has that combination, I thank Hashem that I was given a part of me which is different than animals, which is supposed to be used while I'm here for spiritual pursuits. And while I'm here, my job is to improve this neshama, to be able to connect to Hashem more through Torah and mitzvahs, and then to be able to return it after 120 and say, look what Hashem, look what I've done. I've done a lot. I've taken this neshama that you gave me when I was a little baby, and I'm giving it back to you, improved, better, able to connect to Hashem on a much stronger level. That's what a person is. This is what a person is. A combination of physical and spiritual, with a job to do while he's here, to take that spiritual component of him and improve it and work at it and develop your neshama until it can connect to Hashem in a much stronger way. This is how we start our day. Who and what I am. I'm a physical being, but I'm also a spiritual being. And my goals are supposed to be about serving Hashem and about centered around my neshama. That should affect the way I think, should affect the way that I approach my entire day. That's how a Jew starts his day. Who and what I am. That's the way we start our day. Beretz Hashem, next week we'll go a little bit more deeply into the wording. And so there's a lot of, for those of you who are you know, there's a lot of repetitive words, a lot of words you're not sure why, you know, and some of the translations are not always so clear, you know, how they, how one word, you know, is different than the next. We'll talk a little bit more about the translation, a little bit more about these blessings next week. And then after that, we'll go on to Birchas HaTorah. If anybody, let me, can I unmute everybody? Why isn't that working to unmute? Anyway, I don't know, something's not working. I can't unmute everybody, but if anybody, I'm here now for questions. If anybody, yeah, go ahead, Steve, unmute yourself. You can ask.
Okay. Everybody hear me?
Yeah.
Okay.
Go ahead, Steve.
Okay, so to me, you're talking about on the Tilat Yadayim.
Yeah.
And I looked at the word, the Tilat.
Yeah.
And, it's also, it seems like it's the same Hebrew letters as Talit. And the Talit.
Not the same Shorish. No, it's not the same root. It has two letters that are the same, but you're missing the Nun. You're listening to the, you're missing the Nun. It's Nun Tet Lamed. That's really the Shorish.
Oh, okay, because the Nun can be a pluralization.
Yeah.
All right, so, okay, but each one shows that it has to do with raising yourself up.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, very good. That's right, very good.
In terms of spirit, recognizing in Hashem. So.
That's right. Yeah.
You see, why do we have to wash our hands three times? Why not two, one, five?
That's a good question. I'm not sure. I don't know. I think that the truth is I think it's a discussion. I think that I don't know why. There must be some. I think the three times is only because of the reason of the spiritual contamination. How you know that reason is the one you have to do three times for. Is the truth?
Is that
three similar times? Is really only for that reason. What?
Is this similar when we go to the cemetery and we have to wash our hands?
Yeah, it's the same idea. Similar. Yeah. It is. Is it the same?
Well, there's no bracha.
Right. No.
I'm not sure.
I don't remember. I don't recall. Off the top of my head, I don't remember if it's the same reason.
Do the Kohanim wash their hands three times?
I'm not sure. I don't know if they did it three times. They would put it says that they would put their hands on their feet, and then they'd wash their hands and their feet together. So it definitely was not the same process. Yeah, they would put their hands on their feet, and then the water would flow over both their hands and their feet at the same time. I don't know if they did it three times. I'm not sure. I don't know. But it was for a different. Yeah, I'm not sure. No, but again, I really think that the three times is only for the other reason of that spiritual, you know, contamination that comes upon a person who's sleeping. So that's the only reason. I'm pretty sure that's the reason you need three times. But according to the Rashba's reason, you wouldn't need three times. But we do it three times because of that other reason of the spiritual contamination. So to do all the opinions, so we do it the three times.
Does it matter which hand you wash first?
You should always do your right hand first. Right hand, in all mitzvahs, we generally give precedence to the right. So you should lift up the cup and put it in your left hand, and then start washing your right hand, and then your left hand, right, left, and right, left. That's really
good. If you're left-handed?
Right.
Good question.
Should do the left, just like tefillin.
You should have stopped at 9 o'clock, and then we would have been done.
No, tefillin is something different. No. Tefillin is something different. It's not similar to tefillin. Are you left-handed, buddy?
No.
Okay, so
I just thought I'd ask the question.
No, I'm not sure. I'm not sure if you're left-handed. What it would be? I can look that up for any of you left-handed and want to let me know, and I'll look it up for you, but. Not sure.
So we shouldn't be washing. I'm going to take a wild guess here. We should not be washing our hands in the bathroom
because we're in the bathroom and we can't say the bracha in there. Isn't that right? We have to walk downstairs.
So, yes, you're correct. You can wash your hands in the bathroom, and no, you should not say a bracha in the bathroom. So there's two ways to do it. Either you can come out of the bathroom and say al netzilat yadayim and asher yatzar no kai neshama, or you can wait until you're in shul. That's what I do. I don't say it in my house. I wait until I'm in shul.
We can wash our hands in the bathroom and then walk out of the bathroom and say the bracha.
Yeah, and you can even wait till you're in shul. Yeah. You don't need to say it right away. You can say it as part of your davening schedule, right? You get to shul, you open the siddur to page. You know, you daven Sfard probably because you go to Beth Jacob. You open your siddur to page 16 and start with Al Netzilat Yadayim and then Asher Yatzar and then Olkai Neshama. Or if your custom is to say Olkai Neshama after Birkat HaTorah, that's fine too, right? So, but you can wait till you're in shul. Some people, there are people who do both. So whatever your custom is or whatever custom you wanna follow.
Have a pan. Huh? And some people have a pan with water and cup by their bedside.
Yeah, because there are a lot of people are stringent about that. But you know, the general custom for most people is to be lenient about that. And just you can walk to the bathroom, it's not an issue. Okay, I'll stick around for questions, but I'm finished for tonight, so that's the story. But anyway, but the theme is...
That's going to take me even longer at shul. I got to go out of practice.
But now this one will be meaningful. Okay. Now you have something to think about when you say these things. Not boring, right? Who and what am I? What am I? Wake up in the morning. Who and what am I? I'm preparing to serve Hashem. I'm a goof. I'm a body with a neshama. Su yadechem kodesh. Right, so yeah, I'm a body with a neshama, and I have a job to do with this neshama. That's really what the theme is here, right? I have a very complex body formed and fashioned by the Almighty Himself, and He imbued in me a spiritual component which is gonna go back to Hashem, right? Which is gonna have to after 120 years, and Hashem's gonna want to know what did you do with it, right? What did you use it for? That's what a person is all about. This is the ABCs of what people are. That's what the theme of these blessings are. What, who am I, and what am I? That's how a person starts his day. That's what this is all about.
Thank you.
Thank you, Rabbi. I can stick around for questions. Anybody wants to?
I got a question.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Who wrote this prayer?
Oh, I forgot to mention. Thank you for who just asked that?
I did.
Oh, Brad, thank you for bringing that up. I meant to talk about that. These blessings were written by the Anshei Knesset Hagadolah, okay? That means, so what is the Anshei Knesset Hagadolah? In the beginning of the Second Temple, there was the Sanhedrin at the time, the main Jewish, you know, high court, was called, I just mute everybody here. Okay, the main Jewish, the main, you know, central court at the time was called the Anshei Knesset Hagadolah. It was headed by Ezra, right? Ezra, who was the primary leader, and Ezra and Nehemiah and the prophet Malachi, right? So this was a body of some of the greatest Torah scholars in the beginning of the Second Temple. They were the ones who composed these blessings, okay? And established that they be said upon waking up in the morning. They're the ones who wrote them. They're the ones who established it. And I thank you again, Brad, for bringing this up. This is very important because the reason why it's so important is because you have to realize something. The Anshei Knesset Hagadolah, the men, this which literally translated is the men of the great assembly. They wrote these prayers, right? And they weren't just Torah scholars. Some of them were prophets. Right? Some of them were prophets. You know, we need to treat the language of these prayers is not just like, you know, someone who knows Hebrew who's also a poet. You know, that's not what this is. These are deep prayers. These are prayers with tremendous depth and tremendous meaning. And every word, because of the fact that this was written by the greatest Torah scholars and some prophets at the beginning of the Second Temple, we need to take the language and meaning of these prayers extremely seriously. And why every word is so important and is put in exactly the right place, right? And so therefore, that's why I want to spend a couple weeks on this, because there's so much here, right? And just to see what exactly the sages were wanted us to recite and to say and to think about when we wake up in the morning and say these prayers. So we'll spend again. So we'll spend another week on this. We'll go through a few pointers about the language of the prayers and what a lot of the words are trying to convey. This week was just the theme. What is the overall theme? And then next week we'll do a little bit more of the depth of the words. Ritz Hashem. Yeah. Thank you, Brad, for that question. If you want to talk, I'll unmute yourself. I don't know, something's wrong. I can't unmute people. I don't know what's wrong with my. I think. All
right. Thank you, Rabbi.
Thank you, Rabbi.
My pleasure.
Thank you, Rabbi. Thank you.
Thanks, Rabbi. Good seeing all you guys again.
You're inspiring. You guys. Thank you.
Pleasure.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Pleasure.
Good to see you guys.
Thank you.
Take care.
All right. I'm going to go hit the streets and break some glass.
Now. No. You a little bored yet? Rick. Nothing better to do.
Thank you, Rabbi.
My pleasure, Ami.
Yeah, I'll join you, Jeff.
Yeah.
You're gonna protest the protests.
No, I know that. I'm just kidding. I know you take that very seriously, too, Rabbi. I know it. I know. Serious Jeff, times.
Jeff, I heard that the only storefront that hasn't had the windows broken out yet is Polster's over on South High. So.
You know, I've been praying nightly. I know we're supposed to repair, you know, you can't just pray, you have to repair. But like based on the idea those windows are so big and all, yeah, I've been praying like every night, really. I even put David on it. That's where I think the blessings are
coming. Oh, yeah, I'm sure that helped a lot. There's helped a lot. All
right, yeah, but guys. Thank God they haven't been broken.
Nice. So. Nice turnout tonight too. Right. Udi, have a good one. No one call after 10:30, everybody. No texts. We got people that gotta get up early.
Lila Tove, everybody.
Yeah. Lila Tove. Okay. See you guys.
Steve, it's a pleasure. Thank you for joining us. David, take care. Thank you for coming.